Psalm 2:12, it says, "Kiss the son, lest he be angry, and he perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Last week we looked at the word Lord as one of the names for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were a lot of different uses for the word Lord. And tonight, we're going to look at a different word. It's a title for Jesus. It's a name. But again, it has many applications also, as the word Lord did. And the word we're going to look at tonight is capital S-O-N, Son. Particularly when it's used about Jesus. And again, we're going to be looking at many different scriptures, so be prepared to immerse yourself in a word as we move around. The designation by the word son conveys some special associations. These associations are quite unique to the particular family involved. That word son has to do with families. It has to do with God, the family of God. And being part of the family of God is a very special privilege. I don't know if you realize how privileged we are to be a part of that family. When we sing on Sunday mornings, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God," I really am. Years ago, when I first heard that song, it was being used sort of as a theme song for a group of elderly folks that traveled around in RVs helping different ministries do different physical tasks, building buildings and, you know, cleaning. And I didn't see the significance quite at that time. But I do here, and it's such a blessing every Sunday morning to be able to sing that song. You know, just being born does not guarantee any of us about being part of a family. There are those who are born and abandoned. There are those who are put up for adoption. That some are given away. So being born into a family does not guarantee that any of us are going to be a part of that family. Just the fact of birth does not guarantee family membership or relationship. We have to keep that in mind. For families worldwide, there's very special circumstances, and you will see it particularly in the Orient. You will see it also in the Middle East, that for each family, when that first son is born, it is a very special time, a very special occasion. The firstborn son is a guarantee that the family name will go on. That's, of course, provided that the son marries and has children of his own. But the potential is there. Daughters, yeah. A son is very special, especially a firstborn son. Now, we knew a young man in the Middle East when we were living in Turkey. I don't know if it's my fault. Is that my fault, A.B.? Anyway, we knew a young man. He was an only son. He went to college locally, where he could come home every night. His family would not let him go away to college because he was the firstborn son. He became a travel agent. And every time that he would leave to go someplace, to another country or another location, to do business, you would think that he was dying. Mama would cry. She would carry on. He was the firstborn son. So for some, particularly the Oriental, particularly the Middle Eastern family, the designation of firstborn son or only son has meaning that you and I as Westerners do not comprehend. And so we want to think about that a little bit tonight as we look into the Word and see what is God is telling us through His Word about the Son. As we contemplate the name Son, you will find several different uses of the name which refer to Jesus as the Son of God. The first time that we look at, the first one we want to look at is in Hebrews 3:6. Hebrews 3:6. And in Hebrews 3:6 it says, "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end." This one is somewhat complex. The context tells us that we're talking about Jesus as the one being spoken of, and that we are included in the dwelling place for Jesus. Look at that verse. Whose house are we? Now, when we are saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. And that is what this is talking about. The same passage, two verses earlier, tells us this, Hebrews 3:4, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." So we are talking about the Son of God, and we are talking about you and I also being sons of God. God has ultimately made you. You didn't make yourself. God made you, and God's the only one who can make life. They have tried to create life in the laboratory, and they cannot do it. God is the only one who has the spark of life and is able to spark life into another being. When Jesus created man, he created man to reproduce himself biologically. That's been going on since Adam and Eve. There was only one exception to that, and that was Jesus. Luke 1:30-35. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And there you have it. The one time when a son was born without an earthly father. God was the father of Jesus. So can there be any question about Jesus being the Son of God? No, there cannot be. Do you notice the word son is capitalized indicating that it refers to God? And as we go through Scripture, when you see the word Son capitalized, it is referring to deity. Now, if the capitalization wasn't enough, we have a statement that he would be called the Son of God. So when we are talking about Jesus, we can call him the Son, and people will know who we're talking about. Have you ever disavowed knowing someone, like your children? That's not my kid. I know of at least one occasion when my wife walked away from me and said, I don't know him. You do that when something doesn't go so well and you're embarrassed. By the way, there are many cultures in the world that would never do that, because the Son is of such importance. And it's the same way with God. God would never deny his Son. If God tells us that Jesus is his Son, we can do nothing but believe on him, because God loves his Son. Which brings us to the next expression, Matthew 3:16-17. Matthew 3:16-17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God acknowledged his Son there at the time that Jesus was baptized. So there's no question that God loved his Son and loves his Son, Jesus. He loved him before ever eternity ended, and before he began his ministry. The next expression that God has given us referring to Jesus is in verse 17. And that expression is beloved Son. Jesus is the beloved Son of God. Do you realize that when we are in Jesus, we are beloved sons too? We are. There are two other places in the Gospels where we are given this name again, beloved Son. One of them is in Matthew 17:5, which says, While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the last place that we get this reference is in Luke 9:34-35. Luke 9:34-35. While he thus spoke, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. What a special name, beloved Son. And those of us who have sons can relate to that. We can understand how much we love our sons, but God loves his Son much, much more. And there's one other special name that we want to look at, and we only find it in the Gospel of John, John 1:14. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John is the only apostle to use this name. He uses it three more times in his gospel, the only begotten. John 1:18 says, No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And lastly is John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Little name, son. Significant name. It means so much to God, and it should mean so much to us. Think about it. There will never be, because Jesus is the only begotten, there will never be another son. Jesus is it. It's either him or it's nothing. And we have to realize that, the world has to realize that, somehow we have to communicate that message to the world. The world will never have another. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. That's all we need. That's all the world needs, is Jesus. There are no other names involving the Son. And I think that it would be good to, there are a few other names using the word son. I think it would be good that we'll look at them briefly. But the name son, son of God, is significant. People, we are dealing with God, with his son, not just a little boy, but we are dealing with the Son of God, who came for one purpose, and that was to purchase you and to purchase me. He bought our souls. And only the Son of God could do that. Because there's no other power, there's no other one able to do that. So as we look at different uses for the Son of God, or the word Son, capital S-O-N, let's look at some different scriptures. Matthew 9:27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Son of David, referring to Jesus Christ. Another place is in Matthew 21:9, and we have this same use of the name when it says, and the multitudes that went before. That's when Jesus was making his entry into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, a week before Easter. And the multitude went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Even blind men knew who Jesus was, the Son of David. In fulfillment of the prophecy that David would always have someone to rule upon his throne forever. Isn't it something that two blind men knew who he was? And yet the crowds, who a week later denied him, didn't know. That's a warning to you and I. We might say, praise the Lord today. Who knows where we might be a week from today? And what kind of influence might be exerted upon us by our enemy. When those people welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem that day, riding upon that donkey, I believe they were sincere in their praises. They were praising the fact that they thought he was coming as king. They didn't see, they did not understand that he was coming to be a sacrifice, the lamb. And they were praising him, Hosanna. So the blind men knew him. The crowds acknowledged him, even though by Thursday of the following week they would be calling crucify him. How fickle the natural man seems to be. So Jesus was known as the Son of David. Jesus was also known as the Son of God. Most men don't know him as such. But the demons do. Think about this. Most men do not know him as the Son of God. But the demons of hell do know him as the Son of God. And the reference that we're going to look at is Matthew 8, 28 and 29. Matthew 8, 28 and 29. Jesus is traveling with his disciples. They cross the sea. When they come to the shore, we'll pick it up there. And when he was come to the other side, unto the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fear, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, that thou art come hither to torment? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? So you see, even though men on this earth do not recognize him as the Son of God, the demons do. Think about that. In Luke 1:35, we read part of that when the angel Gabriel was talking to Mary, explaining what God was about to do with her and in her life. Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Wonder what Mary thought. Wonder what any of us would think if God were to tell us that through some event in our life, the Son of God would be shown to the whole world. So if angels and demons know him as the Son of God, wouldn't it seem likely that mankind should know him? But we don't seem to have the spiritual insight that even demons have. It isn't until we're born again that we have the capacity to acknowledge him as the one he is. As we read in the New Testament, Jesus takes on another name that I don't quite know how to understand, and I don't quite know how this connection is made, but I'll share it with you. Perhaps you've wondered the same thing I have. And again, we go to Matthew 8. Matthew 8. Verse 20. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He was part man from his mother Mary, and part God from the Holy Spirit. He looked like a man, but he was really God. He would go to the cross as a sacrificial lamb and offer a man's blood for your and my sin. But when he rose from the dead, he would rise, God's Son with power and also with glory. So let's look at two other places where he's called the Son of Man. One of them is in John 1, 50 and 51. John 1, 50 and 51. Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heavens opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." When Jesus was calling his disciples, he used this term for himself. And I must admit that I don't really understand the significance of why he referred to himself as the Son of Man. It may have been in an effort to relate to them. Being flesh as they were flesh. Yet in using the divine name Son in his relationship to God, he was separating himself. And at the time, he was referring, that at the time the event had not taken place yet to which he was referring, and that would be the cross and the resurrection. There was a time when we see this term, Son of Man, used in ways that definitely identifies him as the Son of God. And one of them was in Stephen's death. Stephen was one of the first deacons that was selected by the apostles. Stephen and six other men. Stephen was the first martyr, first Christian martyr that we have a record of in Scripture. Stephen went about preaching, and they became very angry with him. He told the truth. Today, that same thing seems to be occurring at times. People tell the truth, and they get very angry with him, and they do whatever they can to him. Stephen suffered a very awful death. Let's look at that. That's in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. So Stephen had been preaching and teaching about Jesus and who he was, but the fact that men were sinners, they didn't want to hear that. That they were liars, they didn't want to hear that. That they were adulterers, he didn't want to hear that. Finally, they turned on him, and in verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, the things that Stephen was preaching, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." From these verses, there can be no misunderstanding. The Son of God and the Son of Man are one and the same people. This is really a very extraordinary event. One that we must spend a minute or two thinking about. God has told each one of us that we will not be tempted above what we are able. Every one of you can stand a certain amount of stress. I hear people say they're stressed out. If they're still talking, they're not stressed out. They might think they are. But God is not going to take any of you into a temptation more than you can stand. And that might be a health issue. Maybe he brings something into your life that you would not like to know about, or you would not like to experience, and yet he brings it into your life because he is going to use that to be a blessing to other people. You understand that? The things that come into your life that seem to be bad things, that seem to be tribulation, they are for a purpose. God is not beating you up. He doesn't beat us up. That's why he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus so he wouldn't have to. And the fact that Jesus has come and Jesus has paid for our sins, we will never pay for them. And if you do something bad and something bad seems to happen to you, it is not God punishing you. It's your guilty conscience. It is. Our conscience convicts us. That's what the Holy Spirit's all about. God will never cause you to go into a situation that you cannot overcome. Now, there are those, and there's all kinds of situations all over the world. Some of the missionaries go through this. If they're in a communist country and the communists catch them and arrest them and incarcerate them in a gulag or in a prison camp, and they think they can't stand it, God is there with them. And eventually, the worst thing that could happen in our terms would be that they die. What happens when they die? They go home to be with him. And each one of us, remember the film we saw early summer? We're all going to die, people, if we live a natural life. Unless Jesus comes back, all of us are going to go through this experience we call death. For some, it will be painful. But God knows how much we can take. And he will be there with us to go through that. And this is what was going on with Stephen. Stephen looked up. Stephen could see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And why was he standing and not seated? He was standing waiting for him to receive him to heaven. And when it is our time, your time and my time, we can expect Jesus to be expecting us. He knows when we're coming home. We don't have to be afraid of that, people. We don't. So Stephen was one of the first deacons. He was about to be stoned to death for his faith. He would become the first martyr. Jesus was expecting him in heaven. I like that. What a thought. When we go home, he's going to be expecting us. We're not going to surprise him. If there's been any doubt about the term Son of Man being Jesus, it gets settled right here in this passage. Under the power of the Holy Ghost, Stephen looks up to heaven and sees Jesus standing beside God waiting for him. And Stephen told his persecutors about what he was seeing. He was looking up. He was being tormented. He was being tortured. And he looked up and said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And the people could not stand it. They rushed upon him and stoned him, that he died. Both names are used for the same person, and that person's Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is also the Son of Man. They're one and the same. I hope that you begin to see that his name and the derivatives of his name are all sacred and holy, that we might not use them lightly, that we might not use them profanely, but we might reverently think of the names that are attributed to him. We sing a hymn which says, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his holy name. Why would we disgrace his name by not respecting every version of it? One more scripture and we'll be done. We'll be done a little early tonight, but one more scripture will be done. That's Luke 1. Luke 1, verses 30 through 32. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Son of the Highest. Son of the Highest. What a name. I wish we had the song queued up, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Could you think we could sing the first verse of that, Tim? I think that would be a good way for us to end tonight as we think about names for Jesus, Son of God. Tim's looking up to see what the page is that the song is on. But I think that we'll stand together and we'll sing that song. And folks, may that be the prayer of our heart. What is it, Tim?
307.
307. Let's all take a hymnal and stand together and let's sing just the first stanza of number 307. Jesus is...
Sorry, it's different in that other hymnal.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Let me look it up.
It's not 307. He's got the wrong hymnal. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I have to look it up in the index.
76.
What is that?
76.
Let's sing the first verse of that song, and then we'll be dismissed in prayer. Are we ready?
Here we go.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his holy name. And that is
why
I love him so, because Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
I hope you'll be singing that all week long. Let's pray. Jesus, we do love you because of what you did for each one of us. And Jesus, as we come to the end of this service tonight, we thank you for what not just what you did for us, but for the fact that you are standing or sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. So, Father, intercede that we might be good servants. Intercede that we might be fruitful laborers. And, Jesus, thank you for everything you are doing, for everything you have done. Keep us close to thee. And, Jesus, come quickly, for many of us are ready to go home. Thank you, Jesus, for what all you're doing. Thank you. We thank you within your own name. Amen.